going to talk a lot with Betsy Lewis today. She's an international psychic medium. Her latest work is called Earth Energy. Lots to talk about. She was with me about a year ago, so we'll get her to update us on what she's been doing ever since, and then we'll get right into this on Coast to Coast AM. Well, welcome back. As I mentioned, Betsy Lewis is an international psychic medium, host of the Rainbow Vision Network since 2009, Earth Mysteries Investigator, Earth Keeper as well. She's researched and investigated UFO sightings, cattle mutilations, angels, aliens for more than 40 years. Her latest work is called Earth Energy. You might remember when she was on with me talking about communicating with the other side, mystic revelation of 13 and angels, aliens, and prophecy too. Betsy Lewis, back on Coast to Coast. Hey, Betsy, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me back, George. How are you?
You sound chipper and ready to go. What part of the country are you in?
Boise, Idaho. Remember, we met in Boise about a year ago.
Yeah, I loved it there.
Yeah, great time.
I might go back there, by the way, for another stage event. That would be fun.
Yes, we'd love to have you back.
So, tell us, in a year, what have you been working on? You've got your new book out called Earth Energy.
Right.
Tell me a little bit about that, and then we'll come back to it a little bit later on tonight.
Well, I've always had this connection to the Earth. And I grew up in a rural area of Idaho, and my parents loved the outdoors, but I've always had that connection with animals and everything. And what I see right now disturbs me so greatly. Even the indigenous people are saying something major is going to happen with our planet. And it's up to us to change that. You know, we've lost that connectedness. We have what they call separation sickness. And, you know, we just forgot that, you know, we are related to everything, that everything has a consciousness. Everything is alive. Mother Earth is alive. And what we're doing to the planet, and I say we because we're all involved, but, you know, the fracking, the nuclear plants, Fukushima, just everything that's going on, the pollution of the oceans, what we're putting into the oceans, the plastic, it's insanity. And, you know, it just breaks my heart because I grew up when, you know, there were lakes that were pristine and clear, and now these things are just being polluted. You know, it's, you know, I just don't know where we're going with that. But I, you know, many of them believe that we are going from the fourth world into the fifth world. And
explain that.
Well, they're saying that our Earth is shifting, and they believe a great cleansing is going to happen, but they also believe that there is going to be what they call the Galactic Dawn, which is the beginning of mass awakening, and they believe that that happened December 21st of 2012, which was supposed to be the end of the Mayan calendar, but you know, they believe that was just the start. And, it, you know, so many of us are awakening to what's going on in our connectedness. You know, our ancestors thousands of years ago were connected to everything. They understood that the elements and everything is alive. And we've forgotten, you know, to pray, to honor, to have that reverence for Earth Mother. And, you know, today was... well, it's kind of past, but it was Earth Day. And, you know, I know so many people were out there praying, but we should make every day Earth Day.
Did you see all the litter out there?
Oh, yeah.
All these people at Earth Day, and the place was just pelted with litter and papers and things like that. The trash bins were overflowing and everything else. We'll come back to your work, Earth Energy, Betsy, but you have really been involved in cattle mutilations, communicating with spirits, aliens, and the like. Of all those areas, the mutilations, spirit world, UFO topics, is there one there that is really sparks your interest, or all of them?
Well, all of them, actually, because I've had my own UFO experiences. I've investigated the cattle mutilations, which was really going on during the 70s. I know Linda Moulton Howe has reported on them, and they're still happening, but not at the rate they were happening during the 70s and early 80s. But they were taking place all over the world, and not just cattle, but horses too. And I know in some areas she's reported on cats, which is, you know, just, again, I can't understand why aliens would keep doing this. That's why I kind of think that the military is involved in this. There's just so many things that point to that. I was working with another person that was involved with the cattle mutilations during that time. His name was Tom, and he lived in Paris, Texas. And he investigated some of the strangest cattle mutilations you've ever heard of.
Now, when you say the military might be involved in this, if they are, mm-hmm. what are they doing?
Well, you know, think of all the strange things that, you know, have occurred with, you know, like mad cow. You know, if they were doing some kind of biological research, they would, you know, try it, you know, on cattle. And certainly what's really strange is so many of these cattle mutilations take place around military bases. And, you know, it would be so easy for them to abduct a cow.
Was that Tom Miller, by the way?
Beg your pardon?
Was that Tom Miller, who is the expert on the mutilations?
No, his name is Tom Adams.
Okay. I don't know him. So, but, you know, if the military's involved,
right,
then they're testing something, obviously.
They are, I think so. But I think there's also aliens involved. I don't think it's all military, because some of these animals have, you know, people have watched them being beamed up into the sky.
Well, they were put in trees.
Yeah, there's just too many strange things. Of course, the lack of blood around the animal carcass. I have talked to sheriffs and branding inspectors, veterinarians, and, you know, the story's all the same, that certain parts are taken with laser precision. The blood is missing, which could mean that they were transported somewhere and experimented on and then airdropped, because Tom found out that many of these animals had broken bones, that they were airdropped from, you know, quite a height.
Yeah. Tell me about this Brazil case back in 1970.
That's really bizarre. It took place in Brazil, and it was October 25th of 1970 that a farmer, his name was Pedro, and his 23-year-old son were on the farm about 15 miles from the nearest town, and they had about 18 head of red Jersey cows, and they had separated one cow from its month-old calf, which weighed about 60 pounds. And the cow and her calf were left to roam the corral only 15 feet. And Pedro and his son noticed that the cows were all becoming really nervous and upset, and the red cow began bellowing as if something was terribly wrong. And then they noticed that the calf started bawling at this point. Huh. And it was now above the ground. It was suspended 3 feet above the ground. And it was in its normal position. I mean, it wasn't upside down or anything. And then they were stunned that it began to move parallel to the ground in the direction, you know, of the fields. And the other cows were going crazy. They were crying out, and it had moved like 60 feet, and then it began to rise vertically so slowly. It took about 3 to 4 minutes before it was so high in the sky it looked like a quarter, they said. And it simply vanished. Vanished. They never saw it again.
Now,
isn't that incredible?
Well, it's a great story.
And, yeah.
But this is happening all around the planet, isn't it?
It has been. It has been. Like I said, I think it's slowed down, you know, and you probably, what Linda has probably said is it's not quite as active, which is kind of interesting, isn't it, that it's slowed down. Why? You know, I can't understand that aliens would want to keep mutilating animals. You know, they would certainly have experimented on them enough to...
You would think so, unless something's drastically changing on the planet.
Right.
And they're monitoring this.
Right, right. And just think of all the strange things that people are getting. You know, we've got, what is it, the Morgellons?
Fibromyalgia, all that stuff.
Right.
You have also looked at, Betsy, abductions.
I have.
In a big, big way. Now, what got you into this field?
My own
That's right. Tell us
UFO
about that.
Experiences. I've had many strange things happen, but there were two outstanding things that happened. When I was 8 months old with my parents, they had a UFO encounter in northern Idaho. They were traveling from Moscow, Idaho to southern Idaho to visit my grandparents. And it was on a lonely road late at night. And on that highway, they hadn't seen a car. There was just nothing around. And all of a sudden, they hear this horrendous noise. It was actually shaking the car. It was so intense. And they thought a plane was going to crash on them. They couldn't imagine. And the next thing they remembered was, you know, they pulled off to the side of the road, jumped out. There was nothing in the sky, nothing.
Nothing there.
To explain it. And, you know, that was the story they had always told me. But then my uncle in 1981 said that he recalled the story and asked me what they had said. And he said, well, did they tell you they had lost 2 hours in time? And I said, no, you're kidding. And he says, no, I remember. We all thought they were in an accident, you know.
Well, why the abductions? I mean, we've talked about why the cattle mutilations. Why the abductions?
Well, there's many theories. Many people have been told that because we are destroying ourselves, that they're creating a new root race, and that is going to be, you know, the earth is, we're killing the earth and we're killing ourselves, and, you know, they want to create a new race.
They've been sharing stories with Native Americans, haven't they?
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
Like the Hopi, the Paiute, the Iroquois. What did they tell them?
Well, according to Dr. Artie Sixkiller Clark, who went to Belize and Yucatan, that many of these people have been told that they are, that there's going to be huge changes with our earth. The Maya, the Hopi believe that, the indigenous grandmothers, the 13 indigenous grandmothers around the world, even my own teachers, Corbin Harney, the late Corbin Harney, and Ed McGaw, Eagle Man, have talked about this, that there is going to be these huge changes coming, and they have felt that for a long time. In fact, I dreamed about them. I've had all these dreams through the years about huge earth changes. So I've been expecting something about now, and all these changes. Look at what's happening to the earth right now. We're hearing these mysterious booms
all over the earth. Yeah.
And I know Linda's been reporting about that. I mean, people are just totally freaked out about that. And the sinkholes that are forming in Russia, there's been all these huge sinkholes that they think is from the methane coming up from the ground and causing these explosions, and then these huge sinkholes, and you know, the extreme weather, and you know, there's just how about the sea creatures that are dying all along the West Coast? I know you've been reporting on that.
Oh,
too,
we
right?
sure have. Absolutely. Yeah. What they tell the Native Americans, is it different from what they tell those they abduct?
Pretty much the same. Pretty much the same. I know Betty Andreas and Luca, yeah, she talked about that too, that they have been watching us for eons, and they're getting ready for a new world, you know. They're preparing, you know, us. They have been interacting with us since day one.
Well, they sure have. There's no question about that. And what's next in the abduction cases? What do you think will happen next?
Well, supposedly over 8 million people believe that they have been abducted by aliens.
That's huge.
Just in the United States, according to one poll that was taken. But I think that's kind of slowed down a bit. Now, there are some people that say that the aliens have stopped doing the experiments. Others say that it's still going on, but they want us to get ready. There was one case of a couple that was abducted in the California desert. And I talked about that last time I was on Coast to Coast.
Yeah.
And Steve and Don Hess. And they were told that they're getting ready. They're selecting certain people to prepare us when they finally, you know, land and make themselves known. So they don't want us to be panicked. And I don't think we would be anyway, would we?
I'm not sure, Betsy. I think there'd be some that would be panicked. Others probably expect this.
Yeah. You know, well, isn't it interesting that the Catholic Church keeps talking about aliens, and they've had a couple of astronomers mm-hmm. that have actually said that they would baptize them if they wanted to be baptized. So,
did you ever come across any UFO cases at the military bases?
And you know, well, the case that I was just talking about, Don and Steve Hess, that took place in the Mojave Desert.
Mm-hmm.
And not far from military bases. So when they start seeing these things dropping down from the sky, hundreds of them, they thought that it was some kind of military exercise.
Yeah, who would think? These are ETs, right?
Right, right. But it was aliens. In fact, three different types of aliens that they were held hostage by for at least 24 hours in the desert. And it was probably one of the most frightening things that, you know, they've ever experienced. And after they did the interview with Ron Felber, who wrote the book about it called The Searchers, he actually had them regressed back to that. And they had a different view of the aliens. At first, they were totally frightened, but they found out that the aliens have an agenda. Like
sure
I said,
do.
That they want us to know that they're going to be coming back sometime. They told Ron and Steve sometime in their children's lifetime that they would be making a mass landing.
For peaceful purposes, I trust?
It sounded like it. It did.
Some don't believe this, though. Some like David Jacobs.
Well, I think there's a lot of different types of aliens watching us right now, George. I think there's...
They can't all be good.
Well, I don't think so.
Look at us.
I know. They're just like us.
The universe is
the benevolent ones. There's the malevolent ones. You know, there's good and bad.
Demons, evil, you name it.
Sure, sure. And
it is there. Did you think, though, biblically, angels were confused for ETs or ETs were confused for angels?
I think so. I think Ezekiel in the Bible, the prophet Ezekiel, who had an amazing encounter with beings that he talked about. They had a wheel within a wheel. He talked about the roar when they came in. They had shoes that were like burnished brass, he said, he described, and he had to use his vernacular, you know, for that time. But what he was describing sound like ancient astronauts.
Yeah. It does. There's no question about it.
Yeah. And,
you know, I had some guests for Beyond Belief last weekend when mm-hmm. we taped the program in Denver, and we were talking about ETs and the Anunnaki, and, you know, they're convinced that they came down here to manipulate and genetically alter man. And that could very well be the theory, huh?
And we were just one big experiment, right?
Yep. We are the prison planet for the universe.
Yeah, I know they believe that. And who knows? That could be true. But they certainly goofed because we have the war DNA. And look what's going on with the Earth right now and the Mideast and everything. It's when will we ever find peace? You know, I keep hoping that, you know, together we'll come together, we'll unite, we'll see the light in every human being, that we'll honor each other and animals as sentient beings.
Hey, Betsy, when we come back, let's get involved with your memoir, Communicating with the Other Side. The California Earthquake Authority, KFI AM 640 in Los Angeles, the American Red Cross, all joining forces to send an urgent message to Get Prepared California. They are ready for anything. And this is what they're doing. To raise money for this important cause, from now until April 30th, were auctioning off dinner with a whole bunch of people, including me, at Morton's in Burbank. The bid for me already is $3,000. You can go over that if you want. For bidding, simply go to our website, coasttocoastam.com. You'll see the American Red Cross logo, the story about the auction, right there on the homepage. Click that and go bid. 100% of the proceeds go to disaster preparedness and relief in California. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. Betsy Lewis with us. Betsy, let's talk a little bit about communicating with spirits, and then we'll finish up with your earth energy work here. Of course, you've been a psychic medium for a very long, long time. Tell me a little bit about, and I just saw the story, William Peter Blatty, who wrote The Exorcist. He's got a book out, Finding Peter, the sad story about trying to find his 19-year-old son who died from heart complications.
Right, right. Well, in 1971, my mom joined a dating service in Beverly Hills, and the first date that she had was with a man called Maurice Blatty, or Mo as we call them. And he was the older brother of William Peter Blatty. And at the time, The Exorcist had just come out. And they married a few months later, but I got to know Bill. I was going through a lot with my first husband. He had cancer, and it was amazing that both Mo and Bill helped him to go to Mexico for the Laetril treatments.
Yes, B-17.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. And Steve McQueen went down there, of course. His cancer was too far gone, metastasized. Too far, so he couldn't be helped, and my husband couldn't be helped at the time either. But it's interesting that Bill was experimenting with reel-to-reel tapes to get EVP, electronic voice phenomena, and that was during the 70s, and he would take a blank reel-to-reel tape and set the tape recorder on slow and ask the question. The first question he asked was, does God exist? And then when he set the microphone to the highest setting, pushed the record recording button and waited three minutes, then he would replay it, and he heard a distinct male voice clearly say the word Lacey. Huh. And then the second time he replayed the tape at higher speed, he heard the words hope it, words he believed referred to his original questions. But some of the experiments produced phases like, I know what you're thinking, there's no space here, and make them pray, Bill. So he's had some really strange things happen in his life.
Well, there are a lot of people out there, though, Betsy, who are skeptics about the other side.
Right.
Very difficult to convince them otherwise, isn't it?
Oh, well, they should be in my shoes. I've had so many things happen. My life has been saved so many times. I've had warnings about earthquakes, a car that was going to head right for us.
I've had one of those, too.
Did you?
Oh, my
really?
God, yeah. I was going through, and I've told this before, a couple times, as a matter of fact.
Wow.
But I was going through an intersection, and I had the green light.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, you got the green light. You go, right? Well, something told me, stop, don't go through. And I stopped. I pulled over on the side. At that second, a car was racing through its red light and would have broadsided me.
Oh, so you've got to trust that little inner voice, that sixth sense. We all have it. And I know so many people don't think they have it. But, you know, that was part of what our ancestors had. They had to survive that way on their sixth sense. So we all have it. We've just forgotten how to use it.
Yeah, we sure have. Now, when you wrote the book Communicating with the Other Side, did you come across anything demonic?
Never. No, I haven't. I've never had anything like that. But I've had a lot of, lately I've had a lot from my sister who's been kind of messing with us with electrical things. She is just making us crazy.
What does she want?
Well, I think she just wants us to know that she's here and watching over us. And it's kind of funny. Recently, it was on the 24th, which would have been her birthday, February 24th, and she can turn off our little radio near our kitchen, and she was turning it off every 5 minutes. And then for several days it stopped. There was no more. And then on March 5th, it was playing, and it was early morning, and I had walked out of the kitchen, and I walked back in, and the song that was playing was Never Can Say Goodbye.
Mm-hmm. Good song.
The Jackson 5. So, and what's really interesting about that is I had said a prayer, silent prayer to her, and I told her it was okay for her to move on. So as soon as I walked in the room, the radio turned off, and it was while they were singing Never Can Say Goodbye, and my husband just roared. He said, "You just got your answer."
Yeah, you sure did.
She's never going to leave. She's never going to say goodbye. There's been so many things like that.
Now, your newest work is called Earth Energy. First of all, explain that, the title.
Well, there is an energy to Earth. People believe, and I believe, that Earth is a living, sentient being, that she has energy. We know that. With all the elements, the water, the mountains, everything is alive and has consciousness. So that's Earth energy. There's ley lines around the Earth. Those are the invisible lines, magnetic lines. There are vortexes on Earth. The water, the ocean, we've seen the energy of the ocean. It can be calm and then it can be tsunami waves. There, the wind can be calm and then we get hurricanes and tornadoes. And so there is so much energy to Earth.
Well, there's lots of energy to Earth. Now, tell me about the Hopis. What was their involvement with this?
Well, the Hopis have a rock called Prophecy Rock in Arizona, and that rock actually shows that we can take two different paths, and it's up to us which path we're going to take, the destructive path or the healing path. And so they believe that it's up to us, and many of the indigenous people say it's up to us to heal.
Free will? Is it free will?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, and what we're doing, you know, we're conscious beings. We have the electrical energy. We're powerful beings. We just don't realize how powerful we are. And right now, what we're doing with all the fear and anger and everything else that we're putting in the earth, you know, that's all negative energy. And, you know, Mother Earth just gives it back to us when we do all that. So that's why we're having all these earth changes. And they say that when we have this connection, when we understand the divinity, the cosmology of all life, then there will be less earth changes.
Tell me
so
about
what we have to get back to.
Betsy, tell me about your work about people, ships, and planes that are vanishing. And we've covered all these stories, but
yes.
You've looked at that. Something's happening.
Well, there is. I know that there's people that have disappeared, and ships and planes, like you said, and Bermuda Triangle, there's vortexes, stargates. Many people believe that there are these areas. And I know Edgar Cayce in his readings talked about the great and mighty crystal that was a part of Atlantis that sank in the Atlantic. And this great crystal, which was almost like nuclear energy that we have today, it is activated certain times of the year and causes all these anomalies in that area, magnetic anomalies. But there's another explanation. Some say it's electric fog, and I'm not sure what that is. And
kind of green misty, wasn't it?
Right. And then there's the theory of methane gas, which is trapped in certain areas under the seafloor and erupts, and these eruptions cause the water to lower the density, causing ships to sink. And so that's kind of interesting that methane gas could do that. And right now we're getting, I think, a lot of methane gas being, you know, pulled up from the earth because of what it's going through. I think the shifting and also because of the areas that are melting.
Yeah, it bubbles underneath, let's say, a ship. And it has the ability to literally just drop it down to the ocean floor.
Right. So there could be a lot of logical explanations. There could also be a Stargate where these aliens are coming in and out. And one of the biggest places is supposed to be the Mideast. And that's why we're seeing a lot of this anger and everything going on.
Well, that could be too. Now, in the Middle East, didn't they look for some Stargates in Iraq?
Right.
Did they ever find anything?
I don't think they have. There's nothing proven, as far as I know. I don't know if I want to go on one. Would you go on a vortex or a Stargate?
Yeah, I'd go.
Would you?
Sure.
You would?
Yeah, I'd give it
You're brave.
I'd give it a shot, as long as it was on this planet.
Right. But if you couldn't come back...
How would you know?
Yeah, that's true. How would you know? But I think there's parallel worlds that coexist with our own world. I've always believed that. There's so many dimensions out there. And there's so many different worlds that we just don't see. We think our physical world is it. But, you know, there's so many different explanations for, you know, in quantum physics that talk about the invisible spirit world.
You have talked about Australian Aborigines. Tell me about these stories. What have they been up to?
Well, there is a legend that they came from a star system, and there was a planet there that they were on that was dying. It was being destroyed because they didn't have an energy grid around it, and they believed that when they came here in spirit form to our planet, they noticed that the planet was out of balance, and so they created a energy grid that would increase, you know, the protection around the Earth. But now they say that we've become so disconnected from nature, and what we're doing to the Earth, we're taking out all the minerals, we're taking out the oil, we're taking out the uranium, and this is causing a problem with the energy grid. And that's why we're having all these incredible Earth changes right now. And they say it's going to increase until we stop doing this, the fracking, everything else that's going on. And of course, we've got all these earthquakes in Oklahoma and Kansas. There's been swarms of them in Oregon too, Lakeview, Oregon, places that shouldn't have these incredible earthquakes.
Well, we will find out soon enough, I think, Betsy, won't we?
I think so too, George.
The Vatican seems to be preparing us. Everybody seems to be preparing us.
I think so too, George. I do.
Betsy, when you looked at these Earth energies, was there a certain region on this planet that had a little bit more than another spot?
Oh, there is. There is. Mount Shasta is supposed to be one of those areas.
Yeah, I would believe
Lake
that.
Lake Titicaca in South America. There is... of course, in Australia, different places, and there is also Stonehenge in England, and the places in Iran, Sedona, Arizona, is supposed to be another one of those energy places. So there are many places like that that have greater amounts, but according to shamans and indigenous people, they go to mountains because of all the positive, well, they're also negative ions, but the negative ions are the good ions, but there are positive and negative ions. And when you're around water, you feel the negative charged ions. That makes you feel peaceful. If you're by a waterfall, by the ocean, any kind of moving water, they all contain negative ions. And even Hippocrates noticed 2,300 years ago that his patients benefited from certain kinds of air, that, you know, like the mountains, and if they went to take long walks near the ocean or just pray on a mountain, that they would just have that healing effect.
The Hopis have talked about a World War III. Did you look at any of that?
You know, I haven't. I haven't.
Maybe that's a good thing.
Yeah. Yeah, but, you know, I see that. Didn't John Teeter actually say a World War III too?
Yes.
He was talking about
John Titor, the supposed time traveler.
Right, the time traveler, absolutely. And he was seeing a big World War III coming within his time. And he said that there would be a civil war, actually, in our country. And look where we're at, what's going on with civil unrest.
Why is it that the Native Americans seem to have more information about the future than we did?
They're closer to nature. They've always been that way. And they understand that there are elements and everything has this consciousness. They've always had ceremonies for their ancestors. I've been to many sweat lodges where they call in the ancestors and you can actually feel the ancestors there. I've had some really strange things when I've been in a sweat lodge. And, you know, I think they're just more connected to the earth than we are. And that's something that we all need to get back to, get away from all the electrical things that we're connected to. You know, we miss so much of what's going on with the planet. And the planet warns us, you know, if we just pay attention to what's going on. You know, I've seen it so many times. Earth's animals understand that when there's earthquakes, you know, they can feel it before we do. They warn us. And if we just start honoring Earth and getting back to it, like I said, we're going to stop a lot of these earthquakes. We're going to stop, you know, having all these weird things happen to Earth.
Betsy, in your work, of course, Angels, Aliens, and Prophecy 2, you've talked about a number of things that could occur in the future. What for you seems to be the most pressing?
I would say earth changes. I had dreams, recurring dreams, of huge earth changes when I was 7 years old. And I've had a lot of dreams through the years where I've known when an earthquake's going to hit. I get dizzy. Sometimes I have dreams about it. But what I saw in these dreams when I was 7 years old, I saw volcanoes going off. I felt earthquakes. In fact, I was with a group of people trying to escape volcanoes. I would be standing on a pier and see huge tsunami-type waves, feel the wind. So I can't imagine why a seven-year-old would have those dreams, but I did. And I always felt that something would happen sometime during this time, some major event on Earth. And here we are, you know, with the mysterious booms that are being heard.
Are we ready to take on something serious?
I don't know. I think, you know, like I said, if we start praying to Mother Earth, if we start meditating, if we start visualizing a new Earth, then we will be prepared. If we get back to that natural way of life and honor it, there's just so much we can do. And I think the Dalai Lama said it best, if you think you're too small to make a difference, try sleeping with a mosquito.
Well, he knows that. And I hate mosquitoes.
You hate mosquitoes. I do too.
Still, other than bird food, I don't know what they're here for. Betsy, stay with us. We're going to come back with a final hour of phone calls as we talk about communicating with the other side, angels, aliens, and prophecy, and also Earth energy as well. I'm George Norrie, and we'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And don't forget to email me at george@coasttocoastam.com.